There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
So let me now introduce my wonderful guests joining me on the Thursday brunch. We've got Justin Joseph, who's co-founder of Chaiwala, who along with his friend and business partner Ahmed Kazim started this wonderful business, I think, after a rather interesting trip to India. The name is in it. It's chai, it's tea, but it's tea brewed the way they do in India. So we're really looking forward to having a little taste of that later on as well. We've also got Sven Mostigel, who's the founder, chef. He's a master baker and confectioner from Baker's Kitchen, who at its heart is healthy, nutritional food. They make all their own bread in the traditional way. And we're also joined by Turner Francis, who's founder of Coco Yogo. From banker to dairy-free diva, she makes wholesome, dairy-free, fabulous desserts, butter, drinks, and lots more, all made from coconuts. We're going to be tasting some of those too. And a little bit later, we'll be joined by Chef Ajiro Shinoda, who will be talking to us and also giving them some food to sample. So welcome to you, all three of you. It's lovely to have you on the program. And I must just sort of share it, see if I can sort of give you a little visual on where we are. As I said, we've got this massive big boat behind us. But in front of us, we have... Is it six different kinds of bread, Sven?
Yes, only six.
Only six today. You've been baking, haven't you? You've been very, very busy. We've got breads, we've got cake, we've got cheesecake, we've got coconut butters, and we've got tea. So I'm really looking forward to this. So let's start, without further ado, with Turner. Welcome, Turner. How are you?
Thank you. I'm well.
Good to see you. Now, I must admit, I've seen you at lots of various different markets around Dubai, so you feel very familiar to me, and I know I'm not to you, but it's lovely to be able to actually finally get a chat with you. You go to the right markets. I saw you at Al Sakal, I think, a couple of weeks ago. And how did it all start, though? Because it was a good few years back now, wasn't it?
Yes. It started in Dubai 5 years ago, to be exact. But in terms of my journey, it's been a lifelong journey. So 25 years ago, I discovered that I was very severely lactose intolerant. And also, about 10 years later, I discovered I was also gluten intolerant.
It took quite a long time for that realization or for that discovery. You knew something was wrong, didn't you?
Absolutely. Mm. I had a long, long few years, of just feeling very unwell and going back and forth between the UK, where I was born, and Jamaica, where I was living. And no one was able to, decipher what was wrong with me. I'd been to so many doctors, and my health just kept going downhill. I was losing weight. I would have respiratory infections. I had skin infections. I had stomach disorders. Mine was really, really severe. And after spending lots of time, lots of money, something just sort of clicked one day. It was like a switch. Mm. And suddenly, as a matter of fact, let me just go back a bit further. I went on a holiday to the UK to see my brother. And my brother, who is now in his 60s, has been vegan since he's 10 years old.
Has he really?
Gosh. Absolutely.
Wow.
So I went out for dinner with him one day, and he said to me with a friend, you should consider going, I think the word they said was vegan at the time. You're talking about early 80s.
Right.
I had no clue because, in Jamaica, we have a different type of diet. People just eat everything that's natural. Mm. And we'll probably talk about this later, but the Rastafarians in Jamaica, they eat what we call Ito food, which is non-dairy.
Oh, okay. Right.
So anyway, I went back to Jamaica and I thought, well, what do I have to lose?
Right.
So I thought maybe it is something to do with what I'm eating, because I was using steroid creams every day on my body, and that's dangerous,
yeah.
And you live in the sun. So I remembered, I thought, let me just go back to the doctor one more time. And I went to see my doctor, and this is really going to be a very strange sort of analysis, but they said to me, you probably have peptic ulcers.
Wow. Gosh.
So I thought maybe there was some truth in it, even though I don't drink alcohol, I wasn't stressed, and I don't smoke. Anyways, the doctor, I think that's more of a cultural thing. The doctor said, you probably need to drink some milk because that will help to line your stomach.
Oh, no. Right. Just exacerbate the situation.
In a way, it was a good thing.
Mm.
Because that was the day I had my last milkshake.
And you've never looked back since, have
no.
you?
Yeah. Because I had the milkshake. I was in agony. I was literally on the floor. I was rolling. I had pain. I was ill. And suddenly it dawned on me, it's actually the milk that's causing me the problem.
Mm.
And that's how my whole journey started. However, it meant I had to give up all the things that I really loved.
Oh, right, yeah. It's often the case. But milk and cheese and butter and
yeah.
all those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I just love desserts. I liked cakes. I liked cream.
Don't we all?
You know, and I love cereals as well, you know. So I wanted to have, you know, my milk in my cereals.
Yeah.
And that meant in those days, I had to abstain because there were no alternatives.
But I suppose living in where you were in Jamaica at the time, there were coconuts in abundance. And did you find those immediately, or was it again a quite a lot of trial and error before you actually found that the benefits of coconuts?
Well, it's like this actually. In Jamaica, all these natural products are there, but we're so blasé about it. Not many people in Jamaica are aware that they have lactose problems anyway. Mm. So I think what it is as well, we're so close to America. There's a flight that's only like 1 hour away, so we get more sucked into the American way of eating. So I thought the answer was in something else, like taking pills,
yeah.
things like that. And then suddenly, as I progressed and I realized that's probably not the way to go. I wanted to go more natural. I didn't really discover having coconuts at the time because soy was such a big thing back then. So
yeah.
my next go-to was to have soy milk as a replacement. And I went on with that for probably maybe 10 years.
And did you see any difference, and did you improve immediately after?
Oh, yes.
After, right.
Mm. It was actually immediately.
Mm.
I came off my antibiotics. I had no more respiratory infections, and my eczema cleared up immediately.
What an incredible story, Tanya. I mean, it really is. And it has brought you, obviously, to where you are today, which is the founder of Coco Yogo, which, is again, it's in the name. It's all about coconut. And finding that you can use coconuts to produce these fabulous desserts. You can make ice cream. You can make cheesecakes. You can make butters. And it's an all-over thing. I mean, you can use it as a body cream. You can use it as a hair cream. So you can cook with it. I mean, it really is quite incredible. So tell me about the products that you, today, what's your story today and all that way that you've come to be making all these fabulous desserts and things? You started in Dubai.
Right.
And so it's been a lot of trial and error as well for you, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And for someone who's always having to eat like this, I'm accustomed to having to find alternatives to experiment. And that's what it's all about. People always ask me, are you a chef? I don't claim to wear that hat. I'm self-trained. It's a lifestyle situation for me. And when the superfood era started and everyone was onto coconuts and coconut water, for me, it wasn't hard to get onto that because I saw my mum making coconut oil. We use coconut cream in our desserts. We use it to make rice and peas. So for me, every part of the coconut is normal.
Mm.
So the first time I had a coconut non-dairy product was actually in London.
Was it?
It was in London, and I thought, this is interesting.
It tastes like home.
Yeah, I thought, and I'd been to Thailand many times, and one of the things they have in Thailand that I'm absolutely in love with is mango sticky rice.
Oh, right.
Which
yes,
is completely yeah. dairy-free, mm. and the rice is flavoured with coconut, and it's got mangoes in there, all tropical. And I thought, this is just coming right back to home, mm. all the things that I'm familiar with.
Did it feel just natural for you to do that? It's interesting, isn't it, how we always, we search and search and search for those answers elsewhere, as you mentioned, through doctors, through different foods from different countries. And actually, oftentimes the answer can just be right there, you know, in your home place, in yourself.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, I always found it slightly hard to crack a coconut, but you know, the husband was there, so...
Oh, maybe you can talk to us how you do that later. I certainly don't know. Do you know how to do that, Sven?
Some.
What about you, Justin?
I would just drop it. I mean, yeah. I don't see any other way.
Is that how you do it? I don't think you...
No. I've kind of, you know, evolved since then, so...
I can't just imagine a picture of you, like, cracking coconuts in your kitchen.
Absolutely. So, working with coconuts and... all the products that we make, they're completely 100% wholesome. So, for instance, our cheesecakes are made with cashew and coconut. We don't use 5% of this and 2% of that. It's the 100% of whatever we say the product is. So these are all pretty much things that, you know, are everyday foods that I'm accustomed to. Mm. One of the things that we're big on in Jamaica, we're very big on flavor. That is everything. Anything that you eat, anything that you drink, in our culture, it's almost an insult if you give someone something to eat and it hasn't got good taste.
Good. Do you know what? I have to admit, Tana, I've never had Jamaican food.
There's two restaurants in Dubai.
Are there? Yeah. Have you, Sven, Dustin, have you ever tried Jamaican food?
When we was working in US, in Florida, and on LA, yes.
You have?
Right. We had. But
well, because I know you two know each other as well, don't you, from the markets.
But I'm sure not like her.
No.
We're partners in crime at the market.
Oh, right. What about you, Justin?
Yeah, I think I have. I mean, we were just discussing prior to the show about how it's similar to Indian food.
Okay.
And then we have jambalaya. That's what I've had.
Oh, interesting.
And I don't know if it's right. Traditional Jamaican, but no.
I'm not aware of it.
But
it's more Caribbean.
Use of spices, basically.
Right, yeah,
on the spice trail. Mm. We need to take a quick break. So we've introduced one of our first guests here, Tana. We've been learning all about her wonderful Coco Yogo fantastic products. We're going to be tasting some a little bit later on. Next, we're going to bring in Justin, and then we'll also have a chat with Sven as well. I can smell that bread in front of me, actually. Is that freshly baked?
Last night.
Oh, my gosh. Can't wait to get into that. We've been having a chat with Tana Francis, who's the founder of Coco Yogo. Got to get some of that wonderful coconut butter and things out in a second as well, because you're going to be pairing them with our next guest, who's brought along some fabulous breads. Sven Mostigel, who's the founder, he's a chef, he's a master baker and confectioner with Baker's Kitchen. Welcome to you. And mate, we might have a cup of tea as well. What do you think?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we've got some wonderful tea tasting sessions going on a bit later with Justin Joseph, who's the co-founder of Chai Walla. So let's bring you in, Sven, at the moment. As I said, I can smell that bread. It just looks so perfect in front of me. It's absolutely beautiful. I don't want to break it because it just looks amazing. Tell us what we've got in front of us.
Okay, you have in front of us classic breads baked like 100 years before or proofed like the last 6,000 years.
Right.
Pure based on long, and I say extra long, fermented sourdough. Mm. Not a piece of sourdough, 1 kg from yesterday in a 300-kilo kettle to sail it for sourdough. We have here bread what is 48 to 100 hours fermented.
Gosh, okay, right.
Based on the fermentation, gluten-free, almost sugar-free, and a lot of phytons-free, and all the negative stuff is out. It gives you only health and life.
So I can see why your friends are Turner then, because you Absolutely. Can eat this, can't you?
I can eat bread.
Her coconut butter on this bread is every weekend when we met on the market, my breakfast.
Was it really? Maybe we can we do that? Shall we do that now? Which one do you yes. want? Which one is? We've got basically three different breads. Sorry, we've got six different breads. We're all standing up now. Six different breads in front of us, and they're all made with gluten-free flours. And you said it's. What was the other thing that you mentioned? It's.
We will take our fitness bread. This is only
bread.
Seeds and grain, not even flour.
Oh, okay.
Because it's our fiber bomb.
Ooh.
For the digesting cleaning. Good
okay.
in the morning.
Yep.
Not for the evening, because you will wake up in the middle of the night. Because if you eat this continuously, every day, one or two slices, your digesting system will operate more precise, more relaxed, and you will go to the quiet room twice a day. What helped you in general to defend...
I like that. I like the way you said that. Very diplomatic.
What helped you to defend any autoimmune sickness, which okay. is coming from our yeah. digesting system.
It's interesting, actually. I mean, we're backtracking a little bit now, but we're saying this is really where it all started for you, wasn't it? You're a master baker. It was passed down from your father, I believe, as well, and passed down from hundreds of years of how bread was originally actually made. It was made from wholesome ingredients. It was made from real food ingredients, not in a factory somewhere packaged and sliced and wrapped up in plastic. This is real bread, isn't it?
This is real bread. This is bread. Okay, we have dough kneader machines, which is very old because we like the slowly processed way and everything else is done by hand. But except of this machine and the oven, everything is done like 100 years or 1,000 years ago.
Mm. Shall we taste this? Which one do you think we should have?
Is we will it still cut the first one, enough? The fitness bread.
Okay,
yes.
Let me hold your microphone. You go over there and cut some of this bread. And Turner, you were saying that this goes well with which one was it?
Well, any one of the breads. I particularly try to go for the rye bread.
Yeah.
And that's the one that seems to work
for you.
For me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it works for everybody. We put the coconut butters on the bread.
Okay.
Also, what's really nice is when you pile on some lovely fruit, ooh, like strawberries, mm-hmm, and blueberries. So it's a bit like having peanut butter, okay, but it's a healthy version.
But you've got these two butters in front of you, which are different. One of them's sort of a browner colour than the other one.
Right. So we've got here jars of stone ground coconut butter, mm-hmm, a bit like Sven. This coconut butter is made the old way. So it's made with stone grinders,
okay,
and we grind the butter from anything from 8 to 12 hours.
In Dubai?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And what part of the coconut are you using?
So in order to make coconut butter, and this is a bit confusing for a lot of people, we have to use dried coconut.
Okay.
Because the dried coconut is what gives you the fiber, which makes the butter creamy.
So this is the flesh side?
Yes.
There, sort of,
yes. Yeah,
right.
With the coconut oil, it's basically the liquid, which is the oil, that has been extracted from the dried coconut.
Right.
And the fiber is discarded. In this case, it's the fiber that has been ground into a smooth, creamy paste.
Mm, okay. Let's take a look at some of this. But it's quite dense, isn't it, Sven? And this has got lots of seeds and nuts and...
No nuts.
No nuts, okay.
No nuts. Ooh, it's only, wow, seeds and grains.
And it smells amazing.
Yes, and it's fermented.
Mm.
So that's, grains are only usable for your digesting system when they are fermented. If you like, I give you a very simple example.
Yeah.
What is flour? Flour is grains. What is grain? Grain is white, is grass, the seeds of grass. What a cow is eating, normally a real cow, not the turbo cows now. Grass. How many stomach a human has?
One.
How many a cow?
Two.
Four.
Oh, four. Okay.
And the first one, in Germany we say the lab, is the stomach where everything, when it's small, when it's milled, will be fermented.
Mm.
And the digesting process of a cow is between 1 and 3 days, based on the four stomachs. So without the fermentation, the cow will not extract the nutrition.
Mm-hmm.
Now how we do it, this was done 6,000 years before, up to the 50s, up to the beginning 60s, by the baker, over the fermentation. The fermentation is a pre-digesting process to make the nutrition usable for us. Otherwise, we eat something what we can't use more than 10%, and everything of the chemicals and the new enzymes and all this will stock in our body.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's where we get the possible issues, problems, etc. Yeah.
90% of all the autoimmune sickness is coming from our digesting system, our colons, and they are mostly damaged from the things what is in the not fermented food.
It's in the gut, isn't it?
Yes, and when I get then her coconut butter, where we have the middle long fat chain, which is a magic for our body, this is superfood.
Yeah, it is. Well, it looks a superfood. I'm not going to eat it right now because I think that would
<It's> enough
have
for later.
A mouthful of food and that wouldn't be great for radio. We will be tasting it and it looks fabulous. Lots of pictures have been taken as well. I'm sure will be put up on our blog post. But it's fantastic, and it's really great that this is happening right here in Dubai. You've got an interesting background as well, because like, in fact, Justin, you're both engineers, and you were a banker, weren't you, as well?
Absolutely.
So we've got a banker and two engineers who've sort of totally turned their professions around to making bread, making coconuts, lots of wonderful foods, and making tea.
Chai.
Chai, yeah. It's a really fabulous story. Let's bring Justin in. We're going to come back around again to you as well, Sven, about your bread, but... Just quickly bring Justin in. How did it all start for you, Justin?
So my partner and I, Ahmed and I, we used to work together. So start off as an engineer, ended up in financial advisory.
Okay.
And that's where we would like kind of bond over, you know, on our breaks over chai. We'd discuss about chai, where's the best place to have chai. Karak's,
and Ahmed's actually from Dubai as well, isn't he?
He's from Dubai.
Yeah.
And I grew up here.
Okay.
So it's ingrained in our culture since you're growing up to have karak tea, which is very famous over here.
Yeah.
Which was originally brought over by the Indians, but then became karak tea. So tea is a big culture, part of our culture in India. So we would always bond over it. I mean, it was very common for me to meet my friends when we were younger at a karak tea place in Bur Dubai, Old Dubai. So we were reminiscing. It was almost nostalgic for us to, like, talk about karak. And then we would always share, like, different karak spots that we used to frequent. And we'd say, no, this is the best one. He would say, this is the best one. And then that's how it started. We said, let's start our own karak place. But we went grassroots. We wanted to start from where it actually begins, because really it's tea. And we figured the missing element in this market was that they weren't using good quality tea.
Right, okay.
So we said, let's go to the source.
Let's go to the source, which was India. And it was
That's right.
Fabulous trip. And a year later, it's a year this week, isn't it, that you started?
A year tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to hear more of that story, but what we have to go next to is our mystery ingredient. Who's got the first clue?
Guess the ingredient.
Go ahead, Turner.
According to the ancient Greeks, today's mystery ingredient was a divine gift to man. The earliest archaeological evidence of today's mystery ingredient dates back to 5000 BC and is considered the oldest grain farmed by humans. It became an important staple crop in parts of Europe from the Bronze Age to medieval times.
Ooh, sounds interesting. I can see that Sven thinks he might know the answer to that one. We've got Sven Mostigel, who is a chef. He's a master baker and confectioner with Baker's Kitchen. We've also got Turner Francis, who's the founder of Coco Yoga. Welcome to all three of you once again.
Thank you.
Now, we were just hearing all about Sven's bread. Sven's bread, that sounds good, doesn't it? During the break, and we've been having a wonderful taste of just this fabulous kind of little marriage that's been going on, combo going on between Sven's wonderful, what did we call this again? Energy bomb, was it?
I say fiber bomb, and the name is fitness bread.
Delicious, absolutely delicious. Because it's a very dense bread, isn't it, really? But it doesn't feel dense when you eat it. It actually feels quite light.
This is normal. Original bread from us, if you eat it, you never feel blue up or heavy. Never.
Mm.
I have people that eat it a half hour before they make sport. And they go to bed and this is not affecting, interfering them.
Because you're not getting that fermentation process that we were talking about earlier actually going on in your stomach.
Exactly.
It's already been done elsewhere. So
the pre-digesting is done.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
The heavy work is done.
Mm. And on top of that wonderful bread, we put the toasted, was it toasted or roasted?
Toasted.
Toasted cashew. Cocoa butter.
No.
Is that right?
It's pure coconut butter.
Oh, there's no
that's no not cashew.
The
no, the color, the reason why it's got the brown color.
It tastes like peanut butter.
Yeah. It's just that when you toast nuts, it brings out a different flavor because the oils come out and it sort of gives you that taste of, I don't know why, but it's a bit like peanut butter, but it's just pure stone ground toasted coconut butter.
So there's no nuts in there.
No.
Apart from the cocoa nuts, of
coconut,
course.
So yeah.
It's interesting that's called a coconut, but you don't, you know, it's not really seems to have much association with.
Well, it's considered a tree nut.
Yeah.
So there are a very small percentage of people that might have issues with tree nuts.
Mm.
So you never can say to people, you know, if you have one allergy, you can't have this. You just have to make people aware. And normally people who have these issues know what they can have and what they can't have.
Yeah. But it's done, it's made in a facility that does not use peanuts, cashew nuts, all these sorts of other things.
No, we don't use peanuts at all, just because of allergy reasons. So we could make peanut butter. We have all the right mechanics to do it, but we don't. We use cashew, we use almonds, we use coconut, which are the lesser of any sort of, you know, evils allergies. Then, so to speak, in terms of allergies.
Mm. Well, it's absolutely delicious. With a little bit of blueberry and strawberry on top, I think that's going to be my breakfast treat from now on, definitely. What do you think, Justin?
Oh, it was great.
Well, yours is gone.
Yeah.
And you will be energized. You will be energized.
That's what I need.
You will feel it.
That's what I need. We're having it. It's kind of a lunch. We can have it for lunch as well. We had loads of messages coming through. Thank you, everybody, for texting in. If you want to join in the show, 4001 again is the text message number. Maybe you have some questions for Justin, Sven, or for Turner as well. We've been asking you about what's your favorite food to win two tickets. No, this is for the five sessions at the ESM Football Academy, courtesy of Jumeirah Primary School. We've been asking what's your favorite food. We've quite a lot come in actually. Chinese yum cha dim sum. Anyone like those? We are in China Court, so it's quite topical. We've also had a biryani, as it's as close to heaven as you can get via food, says Marilyn. Gulab jamun. I don't know. Can you help with that? Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's basically balls of sugar.
Oh,
I'm sure you've seen them.
Yeah, deep fried and then with syrup on them. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
they're great.
Because I love the way they work to clog my arteries, says Chris. another interesting message has come through from KC. Says, in Sri Lanka, we use coconuts for everything. For the last 20 to 30 years, lots of doctors have been telling us not to use coconuts. Suddenly, they turned around and say to use coconut again, and that all the sunflower oil and is not good for our health. We were better off to start with the start. Yeah, it's quite interesting, isn't it? Once again, sort of story of going full circle and going back round to your roots.
It's a new scientist the last 10 years which came. Because before everyone said, Eric Doctor, you have to, I don't know the professional English name, the long oil chain.
A long chain, yeah.
Yeah. And the last 10, 15 years, the studies show there's a middle chain, don't need any transporter in our blood. And they will not go the whole digesting way. They go into the stomach, to the small colons, the intestines, and from there directly to the liver to build there the ketogen, which is the power for our brain.
Yeah.
This is one of the main reasons.
Mm. Well, we're just going to take a really short break now from food and talk about cycling. Justin Joseph from Chaiwala.
That's right.
Yeah. You've got, you're celebrating your annual, year.
Our first birthday.
Our first birthday of Chaiwala. You've got a stall down there. But before we get to talk more about that, you have got our second mystery ingredient.
Guess the ingredient.
In Dante's Divine Comedy, for the transformation of the soul is compared to the germination of a grain of today's mystery ingredient.
We have Justin over there pouring, still steaming, some wonderful chai. And what's even, most amazing about it is you're actually pouring it into these fabulous pots, which are originally from India, aren't they? This is how it was originally made. Okay. We'll let you pour away there for a little bit, shall we, Justin? And we'll come back and have a taste of it very, very soon. Now, in front of us, I have two beautiful little terracotta sort of pots in front of me, or clay pots probably, with two different kinds of tea in them. In fact, we all do. Justin, can you tell me what's in front of me?
So, one of them's karak. So, karak's your standard milk tea with cardamom.
Okay.
Where the milk is brewed with cardamom, and then we add add our tea, which is brewed separately, and then we mix both of them together.
Oh, I see. So you don't actually brew them together or mix it together?
Well, no. To extract the real flavor out of the tea, you want to brew it with water.
Yeah.
And then the milk is brewed separately, and then we brew them together again.
What kind of tea do you use?
So we use tea that we get from Darjeeling, which is considered kind of the home of tea. The English brought a lot of tea from there. So Darjeeling tea is very famous. What we use is organic black tea for our karak. And the other tea that you have over there is the masala, which has fresh ginger in it and has fresh cloves in it. And sometimes we put a hint of black pepper.
Okay.
It's great when it's cold out there.
Yes, nice and warming.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's interesting, this chai and masala chai. It really has taken off on a very commercial level as well. I think all the sort of big chain coffee shops are doing chai lattes and chai this and chai that. But this is really going back to authentic roots of it, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. So when we started Project Chaiwala, the idea was to, it was two-phase, to have authentic ingredients, so the product should have been authentic. And second, we wanted to bring the experience that comes along with it.
Mm.
I mean, if either of you have been to India, it's very lively.
Yes.
You go into the marketplace, tea is part of their culture. Like an average person in the streets of India would have almost 8 cups of tea.
Really? This kind of tea or just normal?
Well, this kind of tea over the course of a day. But everyone has their own type of tea that they like. So part of our trip to India was to go to the tea stalls all across Calcutta.
Mm.
And we did a walk which started 5 in the morning before the markets open up. We tried probably 30 cups by midday. And each one was different. But essentially, what they were doing correct was the authenticity of how you make tea. Over here, unfortunately, a lot of people use tea bags. All our tea is loose tea that we get fresh. And it has a shelf life because tea also loses its efficacy over a period of time. So we want to maintain that. So we try to maintain our supply chains and get fresh tea as often as we can. Yeah. And that adds to the flavor. That adds to the authenticity of it. The other thing is the milk they use over here. A lot of people use evaporated and condensed milk, which is very sweet, but it's not fresh.
Yeah.
And it impacts the flavor and the authenticity of the product at the end of it.
I have amazing memories. I've been to India on a number of occasions, and particularly on the trains. We did when I was quite young, and I did a gap year, as you do, and travel around. And we spent a lot of time on trains.
Yeah.
And so, I can still hear it in my ears. They say, chai, chai. And coming down the platform. I nearly missed my train a few times trying to get some chai. And they serve it in these gorgeous little cups, which they literally just throw out the window and smash.
Right.
And we sort of tried to collect them and bring them home with us as a sort of keepsake and memory of our journeys. But it was just, I can't really describe it. It was just fabulous on a really cold, sort of crisp morning as the sun was rising on a train, drinking a cup of tea in an authentic chai pot. It was something that will stay with me forever. And it was just the perfect drink at the perfect time.
Right. I think each person has that nostalgic association with chai, at least from that part of the world. And that's what we're trying to bring back. We're trying to bring that nostalgic, the memories you might have.
Indeed.
Like you said, you heard the chai, chai, chai. A lot of our customers come back because our chai wallahs make that same noise make the same sound.
Right.
So a lot of people now remember them back home traveling in the trains and having a cup of chai.
Well, Justin, we'll hear more about that. And we're going to do some tea sampling during the break as well. I'm lovely. Can't wait to try this wonderful tea in front of me from Chaiwala. Let's go back to tea. Let's go back to chai and Chaiwala and Justin. And I was saying, it's funny. He's basically put in front of us two types of tea. One is the one with cardamom and one is the masala tea. And I would normally say, look, I actually really don't like cardamom very much at all. But funny enough, I like the tea with the cardamom in.
Well, it's the combination.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
It's really delicious. And you were talking about the milk. Did you say you use fresh milk?
So we use fresh milk as opposed to using evaporated and condensed milk.
Yeah.
Because that's the way tea should be brewed. And in India, they use buffalo milk. That's pretty hard to come by over here.
Oh, really?
So eventually, at some point, we will try and get a buffalo down and
what
get
about
some fresh
some
milk.
Camel milk?
I've never tried it. Mm. So maybe we try it at some point.
And maybe for Turner here.
maybe you will have the buffalo in your shop and have the fresh milk.
Exactly, the authentic way.
Who knows, or a camel or something.
But we've actually introduced vegan chai now. So the masala, we've been using pea milk.
Oh,
Pea milk, yeah.
What kind of peas?
I'm guessing they're green peas.
Green peas.
We've had to experiment quite a bit to ensure the flavor profile was maintained while having a dairy-free substitute.
I've never heard of pea milk before. That's interesting.
It's pretty interesting.
Mm.
So, Turner, maybe you should come and try some.
Yeah, pea is very, very much in the vegan world now. It's used as a protein supplement because vegans don't get their protein from animal sources.
Mm-hmm.
So pea protein, I can imagine, probably would work very well.
I look forward to tasting some of that as well. And I love these pots. Where are they made? Are they made in India or are they made here?
They're made in India. We work with a social enterprise that helps women in India. So they provide employment and, pay for education for their kids, usually women in rural areas. So that's part of our... that's why we call it a project. We want to help the communities we interact with while as part of our supply chain.
That's really good to hear that you've got some social, ethical part behind the actual business itself. Yeah.
That was something that came up while we were on our trip in India. And, when we were exploring how tea is produced, we were staying at the tea gardens. We then started interacting with the people who were behind it. Funnily enough, like at tea gardens, and these are massive estates, there are multiple villages usually within an estate. Women are the sole breadwinner, if you may, of the family because they have the perfect height to pluck tea and they have the gentle hands to pluck tea. It has to be plucked in a certain way, which men, unfortunately, with big, rough hands are not able to do. So it's the everything depends on the women, and it's like a very matriarchal society. And we realized there was definitely a gap to help their kids, because sometimes men are not equipped to help their kids. So we try to help these communities in whichever way we can.
Yeah, no, it's really good to hear. And interesting about the tea, I think it might have been in Sri Lanka, actually. We went to a tea plantation, and they were saying some of the teas there, they're very, very delicate ones. Or they cut them, the ladies wear gloves, and they use golden scissors.
Really?
Is that true?
I haven't come across it. But I know the key is two leaves and a bud. When you pluck it, it should have two leaves and a bud of tea in there. So.
And how's it going so far? You're a year old, as you said, this week. How have people reacted to your chai wala?
I mean, we've been fortunate. We're very grateful. We've had a lot of good feedback come our way. The whole point was to get the feedback and to improve our product. People are big fans of our chai walas. I mean, they make a hell of a noise wherever we are, so a lot of people recognize that. And, I mean... We've been moving forward, so we're very happy. It's going to be 1 year since we launched last year, and we're hoping to open up permanent locations across Dubai very soon.
Yeah.
And keep innovating our products as well. Fantastic. While we're at it.
I can see people getting their chai while they're rushing to work and having their little pots. I think it's
exactly.
Fantastic.
Exactly. Yeah.
I don't actually generally drink. Tea. I drink a bit of coffee, but I love this chai, cardamom chai, and that's something I would definitely
drink. We're going to convert you.
I think I might be already converted.
Thank I think you can drink both.
Yes, I think I can. But you know what goes well with a cup of tea?
Cake.
Yes, you've got the same mindset as me. And in front of us, we have three different kinds of cake kindly brought in by Sven. Tell me about what's in front of us here.
Okay, we start with an original tradition German cheesecake.
Oh, okay.
Now, when we talk about cake, I can't talk about that our cakes are healthy like our bread. Our bread is number one. Our cakes is very tasty. It is done with honey, it's done with spelt, but not like our Coco Yoko. And this is a different story. Now, in cake, she have a different level, what is the health. Our cheesecake is done from organic curd and labneh, so it is much more light, much more fluffy than the normal heavy cheesecake what you eat here. You can eat two pieces and you stand up and say,
I can have another one.
Yes, I will not feel heavy.
Dangerous.
Then we have a chai.
Can I just backtrack? Sorry, what's curd? Can you explain what curd is?
Curd is, in Germany, Quark.
Yeah.
Curd is done from milk.
Yeah.
In this case, organic milk. It's high on protein, over 20%. And it's low in fat. And this combination is done then with honey.
Mm. So it's healthier than the actual sort of soft cheese that's generally used in cheesecake.
But I must say, healthy fat, healthy oil is not our enemy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, the fructose and the sugar can be our enemy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I have to say, can be based on the quantity you use. So then we have chai apple. You talk
chai.
About chai.
Uh-huh.
Look, yes.
Chai cake and chai.
The reason why we say chai, everyone recognize chai. This is really a reason. Chai apple, this is a spice mix. And chai carrot cake, which is not done with all the sugar and all the greens, which is very juicy. We use organic whole carrots, where we separate the juice and the rest, and then we bring it in the baking process together. And we make it sweet with honey. And we do our best to have a very tasty and healthy style of cake.
But it looks,
here the focus is more taste in the bread. How more healthy is your bread, how more tasty is the bread.
Yeah.
This is something phenomenal. But in cake, you have to help a little bit.
That's okay.
It's indulgent.
It is indulgent. And it looks, I must say, it just looks like something that I would love to have made in my kitchen. It's totally homemade. It's got that beautiful homemade look, which you, again, don't generally find in various other places or bakers around Dubai. I'm always looking for the best cake in Dubai. I think I might have found it.
The last 14 years, and like everyone here, I think, what the people down found... And they have the resource, they start to do by themselves.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you can't find it anywhere else, do it yourself.
That's why he sells out every week at the market.
Yeah. Oh, do you?
Yes, every week. He's cleaned out.
The cake is gone. I'd love to know, though, and we've heard about all this, and it really is your absolute sort of, you know, talked about the gut, which is the center of everything in terms of health, but talk about the gut in terms of gut instincts, and you know, you're doing things from your gut, and it's from passion. Where was there a change somewhere down the lines, Sven, where you went, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore, I'm not being an engineer, I want to go healthy, I want to be education. What was that turning point in your career?
I was on site a professional trainer, instructor for fitness and athletics.
Oh, okay.
And in this time, proved. In this time, my food was very healthy. Then I come more to engineering, I travel around the world and work around the world, and I forget a little bit the health. Your body start to be a dustbin. You put everything in to kill the hungry feeling, and you forget to monitoring what you eat. Mm. And then I get a lacto intolerance.
Oh, wow, okay.
Okay, and I start to stop. I think before I eat, I reduce weight, and now even I can drink milk, because the body is able to regenerate himself if we support him. Mm. So, and I found out that it's not really the milk. It is the sugar in the milk. It is the sugar in the fruit. It is the sugar everywhere. If you have a damaged digesting system, you can eat 25 to 30 gram total sugar in 20 hours. More is not able for your digesting system. If you are healthy, maybe 50 gram, not more.
Yeah.
And when you see that your whole body have not more than 5 gram sugar in the whole body, and you drink some sweet black drinks, and you get 30 gram of sugar,
wow,
then you know you have 600% already more.
Overload.
And when you see that you have between 1,800 and 2,800 kilocalories, glycogen, energy reserve in your whole body up to your size, and 80,000 fat reserve kilocalories, then you know for what your body is built, which energy he prefer to use. But it is important what kind of oil, and coconut is normally in the moment, based on the knowledge, stand now the leader number one.
Mm. You were saying that, and I know my sister said she has a pot in the kitchen and she uses it. She'll put a bit in the cooking. She put a bit in her hair. She's got very kind of quite curly, dry hair. Puts some in her hair and then rubs some on her skin as well. She says, yeah, you can use it for everything.
Yeah. Indeed,
it's
indeed.
Incredible.
Absolutely. It is very good for cooking, for baking.
For
we
your
work
skin.
In the moment we work on a ketogene bread, keto-style bread. Paleo is my challenge, because the paleo said they don't eat grains.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so yeah. Bread's out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So normally.
So because they say it's a human 12,000 years before, they don't eat grains, and now they found the human eat the last 35,000 years grains.
Yeah, but we've also evolved since that time.
The point is, this was wild grains.
Mm.
There is a big gap. 12,000 years ago, the human start to cultivate some grains, special wheat.
Yeah.
And this makes a difference.
Absolutely. Do you know, I think this is turning out to be a truly international show. We've got Justin here, Justin Joseph, talking about Chaiwala from India. We've got Sven Mostigel, who's from Baker's Kitchen, bringing his German roots and making bread with us. We've also, of course, got Turner Francis, who's originally from Jamaica, talking about Coco Yoko. And next, it's an actual pleasure to welcome Chef Ajiro Shinoda, who's a brand chef at Atsuto Restaurant, right here in Persia Court from Japan. Chef Ajiro, thank you. Welcome.
Thank you for inviting me.
Pleasure. It's truly international. We'd love you to taste some of this chai tea and all sorts of things later. But first of all, we're going to talk about your involvement in very much setting up all these Atsuto restaurants and the Japanese restaurants. You're from Tokyo originally.
Correct.
How long have you been in Dubai now?
Now, complete 12 years.
Oh, 12 years in Dubai. Right, okay. And talk to me about some of these wonderful signature dishes that you are serving at Suco. In fact, we've got some in front of us as well. What's the sort of key signature dishes that you'll be serving in at Suco?
Actually, I didn't really bring the signature dishes, but our really, really moving item is gyoza. It's
gyoza.
A Japanese dumpling. Ah. And ramen. It's now is a world-famous ramen noodles.
Okay.
And it's called dynamite prawn.
Dynamite?
Prawn.
Okay. Oh, prawns. Okay. Yes. Why are they dynamite prawns? They're exploding with flavor, I imagine.
Right. It's spicy.
Yeah.
And a little bit sour. So suitable with this weather. Dubai is usually a little bit hot. You are sweating. Mm. So could be losing your appetite. My purpose to be motivate the customer's appetite in order to order a lot.
Okay. And are you bringing food that you think works for the Dubai market? Or how do you sort of manage your menus and think what sort of works for here? Is it, it's, but also, obviously, retaining and maintaining that Japanese authenticity.
Actually, yes. Of course, it's the demand is the authentic. However, as I mentioned earlier, that the weather doesn't allow to be authentic because of if I serve 100% authentic Japanese food, maybe guests will feel a little bit taste sweet.
Sweet?
Sweet.
Okay.
Because Japan, most of the time, it's colder than here. Mm. At winter time, it's minus degrees in Tokyo now. And then they don't need really punch kind of taste at the moment. Mm-hmm. The soft and mild, a little bit sweet, suitable with the cold weather. Mm-hmm. However, Dubai is, again, that most of the time it's really hot and sweat. Even you're working in the office, you come from the office, you sweat. So I don't lose this opportunity to motivate. This is the key. Little bit spicy, mm-hmm. little bit sour. This is a key for me, for okay. all the food.
Interesting. Well, I'm an absolute lover of Japanese food myself, but I'm wondering, how do you source all the key ingredients? Are they flown in straight from Japan, or is it quite easy to source them locally as well?
Actually, our fish, for example, we have a lot of sushi, mm-hmm. and 80% of our sources is local. There is a nice, beautiful tuna around the Dubai Ocean, and of course, salmon from Norway. However, most of the crab meat or squid or sea bream or sea bass, those from local fish.
Right, yeah. And of course, Japan and these days, I think, has got one of the most Michelin-star restaurants in the world, much to the dismay of France, I think. It really is an absolute world leader in terms of food. And it's fantastic that you are bringing just a glimpse of that, in fact, to Dubai. You've been working in the food industry as a chef for many years, haven't you? Tell me a little bit about your background as a chef.
Actually, when I was younger, like 40 years ago, I was commis chef in Tokyo Hotel Okura for 22 years.
Wow.
I started from French chef, so I can still make cold. Nouvelle cuisine, it's old, but nouvelle cuisine is a basic sauce and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, and French is the background, yeah.
Are you into sort of a very purity of food, like purity of Japanese food, or do you feel it's nice to also bring in other influences, such as your French background?
Actually, it's my French background is to be helping here. Mm. For example, ramen. I'm not a ramen chef. But I have a basic sauce skill from French. So I made double bouillon. It's called double bouillon mm-hmm. for our ramen soup, which no one else are doing. I told the secret today, but it's it's a big secret. It's double bouillon.
We won't tell anyone.
That's why our ramen is famous. I want you to try in the future. It's different.
I'd love to. Yeah, absolutely love to. I love this whole idea of noodles and ramen. And Justin and Sven, are you big fans of Japanese food?
Absolutely. My wife, she was the first female sushi master in 1998 in Germany for
really?
Europe. She was working in this fantastic city and country, Tokyo.
Oh, amazing.
And we are not only lovers, we are freaks of the Japanese cuisine. because what I appreciate by the Japanese is a precise detail work. On the other side, we are fans of the simple people-style food, street food in Japan, what unfortunately more and more disappeared from the streets. And he said, gyoza, also I sleep in a gyoza bar, where the old grandfather makes the gyoza and the grandma makes the service. It is a dream. It's a dream for anyone who loves food.
Yeah, I had the fortune of going to Japan some years ago, and I think it was in Kyoto, actually. And I'll never forget it, going to what do you call them, dumplings? They're not really dumplings, but they were kind of thing cased in, I don't know if it was a gyoza. And it was tiny, tiny, tiny little place. It was just a narrow corridor, basically, of stores, and they made them in front of you. And again, it's one of those amazing food memories for me, just sitting there having those. And you just order them fresh, and they just keep coming. And there's queues out the door, and they sort of, once you've had at least about three or four lots of them, they kind of want you to go and move on. But it was something amazing, and you're absolutely right. I think bringing some originality, original food, and especially from a chef who's obviously trained Japanese is fantastic, and having that in Dubai is wonderful. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, and we're going to sample some of these amazing foods as well. But I wish you all the very best with this new restaurant opening. How long has it been open now?
Four months.
So do check it out. It's called Atisuto. Let me get that correct. Atisuto. It's in the Persian Court, and it's in Ibn Battuta Mall. And it's Chef Ajiro Shinoda has really brought all those concepts to life here. And I'm sure we'll be down there and welcome you to this relatively new restaurant. Thank you so much for talking to us today.
Thank you very much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you. Let's talk a little bit now about our guest's food fantasies. And funnily enough, I think for you, Justin, is it Japanese food?
Oh, yeah. Ramen all day.
Really?
So I really want to go to Japan and try as many ramen places as I can.
Right. Why? What is it about ramen?
I love noodles. And I spent 2 years ago, I spent my summer in New York, and all I did was eat ramen. I've never been to Japan. And so I think if there was anything you could take away from the world, if you left me with ramen, I'd survive.
What's your favorite one?
Well, it's just regular beef ramen.
Okay. So it's noodles with like a beef broth.
Yeah.
And then
they top it up with an egg.
Mm.
Yeah. It's perfect.
I don't know if you're a fan of Chef's Table, which is something I mean, absolutely obsessed with. It's on Netflix.
Ivan Ramen.
Oh my gosh. I could watch them over and over again. I just think it's one of the most beautifully produced and presented programs I've seen in a long, long time. If you haven't seen it, they basically interview and go very, it's a very personal journey with them, all the top Michelin starred chefs from all over the world, from Japan to Mexico to, oh gosh, there's even a Buddhist monk in there. And it's interesting because nearly all of them have got some Japanese backgrounds, or they've traveled to Japan and have some sort of an influence. But you're right, I think there's a ramen chef in there.
Ivan Ramen. So yeah. I went to his restaurant in New York, and then I saw the episode on Chef's Table.
Yeah.
And so that made me want to go there even more. But there's another chef called Gagan who does progressive Indian food, and it's absolutely impossible to go to his restaurant without booking 3-4 months in advance. He's based in Thailand. So that's kind of my fantasy, to go there. But apparently he's going to shut that restaurant down and open up sometime in Japan in 2020.
Really?
So if I don't make it now, I'll try and fulfill both my fantasies.
You could. Just go on a world trip. And what? So he's making Indian food in Japan?
No, he makes Indian food in Thailand.
Right.
But it's progressive Indian food. He also came from the streets of Calcutta, where we get our chai recipes from. And he's just used like science and technology and gastronomy and to build these absolutely wonderful dishes. I think it's 27 courses, so it's set menu.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like El Bulli.
It's exactly. And now he's moving to Japan, so.
Oh, interesting. Well, I hope you fulfill that. Why not?
Hopefully.
We're not that far away, are we?
No.
To Japan, but that sounds really exciting. Do come back and tell us if you do get there one day.
Will do.
What about you, Turner? Do you have a food fantasy?
I have loads of food fantasies. I always have difficulties eating out.
Right.
And I'm really busy. I would love to have my own personal gourmet vegan gluten-free chef who could cook for me for like 1 year.
Amazing.
Come to my home. I get to learn, you know, all the little tricks to the trade. That's one of them. I'd also like, whenever I go on a holiday, to just go to a hotel where I don't have to question the menu, where I know that everything on that menu which says it's gluten-free will also be dairy-free. And if it's dairy-free, it's gluten-free as well, because
right.
that combination is what is very difficult to find.
Yeah. Do you find that it's becoming a lot easier now, though?
It's improved, but the challenge is there are still restaurants where either the chef or the waiters just don't have enough knowledge to understand, you know, the different dietary restrictions. Mm-hmm. And also it's the limitation. For instance, I'd like to have dessert. I'm not trying to be like super, super healthy to say desserts are bad. I just don't want a dessert that has gluten or dairy. And then I get presented with a slice of melon or an apple, and that's my dessert, or some sorbet. I still want to have the normal things. I want ice cream. I want cake. I want custard. I want all those things.
Yeah.
So the challenge is, can you make that? Make me that.
Oh, well, what you've done is actually answered that challenge yourself, haven't you? And made it yourself. We've just been presented with some of these gorgeous little dessert pots in front of us, which are cheesecakes. And we're going to have a taste of those a bit later on as well. Just to finish off, we've been eating desserts sort of throughout this show.
And they're all raw as well.
And raw.
So there's no, we don't use any, we don't fry anything. We don't bake anything.
Yeah.
So apart from the coconut butter, which is toasted, so it's not 100% raw. The donuts here, they have just been...
Oh, those are your donuts?
Yes.
Oh, I thought they were Sven's.
No.
No.
So they haven't been baked.
Thanks for this nice, but this is for her, definitely.
Do you know, isn't that... I know, and that is really bad, because I've literally just confined myself to a stereotype there. Because you've said dairy, gluten-free, la 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 la. And basically what I'm looking at now are these beautiful little chocolate, dark chocolate and it looks like milk chocolate donuts, which look very, very delicious, but a little bit naughty. But they are gluten, dairy, all these things free.
And they haven't been baked and they haven't been fried.
Baked, yeah. Well, we'll be tasting those as well later on. Thank you for bringing those in, Turner. And Sven, what about you? What's your food fantasy?
I have a private one and a commercial business one, of course.
You keep that one to yourself.
My private is to have with my wife and my daughter a world travel like I had it in the year 2000. I travel around the world with my chef in this time, but not in the five-star or in the Michelin star. I want to go to the roots where the food is coming from. And the food is coming from the home kitchen over the street to the small shops, to the restaurant, and then the end of the line is a five-star, what is amazing. But I like to travel around the world in crazy places to see how the people bake something there. Bake bread with banana powder, bake bread with... Ethiopian black hairs and all this, because there is still so many magic, and fermentation is magic. You transform one item to another one, and to use this then in my second dream, that Baker's Kitchen will be a place of trust where you don't need to read labels, where you close your eyes and you said, yes, it is vegan, it is vegan. It is long fermented, it is long fermented. To get what you believe to get.
Yeah.
Not reading labels and books and waste your time, because most of the people are busy with their job and they even don't have enough time for the family.
But I also find that, I mean, I must admit, I am a label reader and I will do that in shops. But half the time, I don't know what I'm reading anyway. I mean, I kind of think, what's the point? Because it's just this huge, long list. And they say, what was it? I think someone told me once, which I've always stuck by. If you can't pronounce it, it's not any good most of the time. And if it's a very, very long list, then again, I wouldn't bother with it. I mean, the shorter the list of words that you know what it means and what they are is probably the healthiest for you, I would imagine.
Yes, and do you can mention now that the labels, I talk about bread, now much shorter than before? There is a nice new trick. Clean label.
Yeah.
Now they change raw materials. I don't talk about the nice one. Based on enzymes-based. And enzyme-based bakers help us, don't need to be mentioned, because they said the most of them will die in the baking process.
Okay.
And there is no study, not a short or long-term study, how they will affect our digesting system, our body. Sourdough is more than 6,000 years proofed. Why we change it?
Yeah. Well, you're not. You're bringing it back to us, aren't you? You're sort of bringing this wonderful bread back to us. And it's really fabulous to have it and have it in front of us today and to be tasting them as well. I'm having my food fantasy right here because I've just had one of the most delicious things that I've had in a long while. And it was courtesy of Turner. What did we have? It was not a donut. It was a...
raw nut.
A raw nut. That was absolutely amazing.
Which one did you have again?
I had the darker chocolate one.
Oh, yeah. The chocolate, yeah.
Okay.
So that's basically just... almonds with coconut flour, coated with melted raw cacao.
Right.
With a drizzle of almond butter.
Delicious. Do you know what? Can we go back to that? Let's just get the last mystery ingredient. It's going to be read by Justin.
Guess the ingredient.
Today's mystery ingredient can be used to make risotto, as part of a nut roast, as part of a broth, in salads, and of course used in many bread loaf recipes.
Do you think you know the answer? We've had quite a few correct ones. We're going to be choosing a winner very, very soon, and we'll be telling you who it is shortly. If you think you do know the answer, you've still got time to text in on 4001, and you can win two tickets to Taste of Dubai. I'm loving Sven's face here. He's just in heaven, aren't you, Sven? He's eating ice. What's this we've got here?
He's just devouring the ice cream sandwich.
Ice cream sandwich.
I tell you why. Never bring sugar and fat together, because the fat will oxidize in your digesting system and is a high poison. But sometimes you have to do it. And I'm an ice cream lover. I have a gentleman in my house who make ice cream, Italian gelato. So if I tell her ice cream is great, then it is not only just for fun. I know what is ice cream, and your ice cream is great.
It is great. I know it is. It's funny, Justin's tucking in now as well. You've got what kind of ice cream is in the middle of that one?
That's the matcha mint chip, which is amazing. And because we have matcha as well, which we serve at Project Chawala.
Uh-huh.
So I was definitely digging into this.
I love you. All three of you sort of go together so well, I think, with the tea and the cake and then the ice cream and all the different flavorings and spices. And it's just a really, really wonderful. Really wonderful. But these... oh, what was that? I don't know why is that not staying in my head? I don't know why, because I really love them. Absolutely delicious. And I'm interested in this whole idea of raw food as well. I love it. I spent quite some while actually on a... Anyway, it was on a yoga course where we had like raw food for a month, and I really enjoyed it. It was sort of some of the best food I have ever tasted. We had a fantastic chef from New York there who was training other people as well to cook raw food, and we had pizza, we had spaghetti bolognese, obviously not, I mean, it's made from other things. We had the various different foods from all over the world, and it was the best food I've ever eaten. It was the most food I've ever eaten for breakfast, lunch and dinner, snacks. They made their own chocolate. It was absolutely stunning. And this just takes me back to that, actually, a little bit, of having those raw treats and sweets, because the chocolate, actually, it was in Bali. And you were saying originally you got your raw cacao from Bali.
Absolutely. Yeah. Things are changing in Dubai. We're having more access to ingredients now. But if you want to use authentic, for instance, we use authentic vanilla bean powder in all our recipes, and that is still something that you can't find here normally on the shelves. So we have to go through ways of going on a holiday and bringing back a few kilos of vanilla powder in your suitcase.
I'm just conscious of time, and I really want to share all your details with the listeners today who've been, I'm sorry, I hope you've not been too jealous of us all tasting these wonderful foods, because you can taste them too. Let's start with Justin, because you have, you're over there, aren't you, at the beach canteen?
Right, we're at the beach canteen for the next 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, close
is it three weeks? It's 17 days.
Part of the food festival.
Part of the food festival.
Yeah. It's near, just behind Sunset Mall of Jumeirah Beach Road.
Yeah, I believe it's called Nesnas Beach.
Nesnas?
So it's right on the beach. It's a great place to be. They've got multiple vendors. We're going to be posted up there, but the best way is to follow us on our Instagram at Project Chaiwala, and we keep announcing where we're popping up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Pop up and have some tea.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you, Justin, and a big congratulations to you and to your partner, Ahmed, and thanks so much for talking to us today as well about Project Chaiwala and converting me to your wonderful cardamom chai tea.
Yeah, I hope to see more of you guys.
For sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let's also say a big thanks to Turner Francis, who really, what a fabulous story, and what a fabulous success story as well for you and your wonderful foods. Cheesecakes, ice creams, these ones.
The raw nuts.
And everything else that you've shared with us today, and the fabulous butters and everything. How can we find you? Where can our listeners sample some of your fabulous foods?
So during the winter months, you can find us at the Ripe Market in Zabil Park.
Tomorrow?
That's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And we're there from 9 until 4 p.m. We're online at coco-yogo.com. And you can find us through our partners, such as Freedom Pizza and also Life on One, which is a cafe that serves lots of these yummy desserts.
Okay.
And we're also in Dubai Investments Park. That's where our commercial kitchen is. And you're free to pop by and pick up items that you want to purchase.
Thank you so much. Good luck to you all and to your fabulous products. Thanks, Turner.
Thank you for having us on the show.
And Sven. Thank you, Sven. It's really lovely to chat with you today.
You're
and just a really fabulous concept. And it's just so wonderful, I think, just to see people who are so passionate about what they do and about their foods. Baker's Kitchen. Quickly, where can we find you? How can our listeners get hold of you?
Go and search for Baker's Kitchen UAE. You get in Facebook, Instagram, all information. We come to your house. We have a shop in Abu Dhabi. We have partners like Gibson or Greenheart. You find us almost everywhere. The people tell me where you are not. I'm thinking about
it. And at the right market as well tomorrow.
On the right market.
You want to meet these two wonderful people. Go down there tomorrow. Thank you very much to all of you. It's been wonderful to have you on the show. Thank you for bringing all these fabulous foods and making the Thursday brunch really the past 2 hours just really enjoyable. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.